Matthew chapter 22. If you want to find that, verse 15, if you have your Bibles with you today, we are going to have the scripture up on the TVs as well, but there's just something, I'm kind of old school, and I'm not much on reading the Bible on my phone and stuff like that. The Word of God is the Word of God, but if you have your Bibles or if you want to use one of the pew Bibles, just open it up and let's get into the actual Word today. Matthew 22, verse 15 through 22. The message today is titled, Dual Citizenship. For anybody that wants to take notes, it's dual citizenship. There should be a place on the back of the bulletin. If you want to take any notes that the Lord speaks to you today that you may want to go back and reflect, or maybe some of the supporting scripture or something, I would encourage you to do that. So as you're finding Matthew chapter 22, I want to give just a little introduction this morning to the section that we're going to read. In this passage, we see yet again that the leaders are going to challenge and even attack Christ. Some translations say that they laid plans. They got together and they laid plans. The NLT that I read from says they plotted against. It uses this word plot. These leaders got together and they plotted how to trap Christ. They were intimidated by Jesus. They were threatened by Him, by Christ, and by the many people that He had healed, the miracles that He had performed, and more importantly, the people that were obedient to Him and that had followed Him and that were starting to follow Him. They didn't like it because they felt like they were losing control of the people. Their plot was to ask Him a simple question about citizenship. And this question was meant to trapping Jesus into saying something that may even lead to His arrest. You see, these leaders were sure that either way that Christ answered them with this question that they were going to throw at Him, in their mind, if He answered it one way, He would discredit Himself with all the people that were following Him. And in the other answer, if they answered Him the other way that they were expecting Him to answer, it would upset the Roman government. And they were sure that either way, He would either be deserted by His followers or He would be arrested. What we're going to see is this. What they failed to understand about Christ is that He was the Christ. They failed to understand that He was the Son of God, and He was God in man form, standing right there before Him. Therefore, He saw through their plot, right? Man's schemes have nothing against God, right? What is it? It tells us if God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen? Jesus saw through their plot, and once again, He turns what was meant for evil and He turns it into good. He turns it into a lesson for them and He turns it into a lesson for us. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what God does. That's His business. He turns the things that were meant for evil into good. Christ takes this opportunity to teach us the truth about citizenship. And He astounded everybody that was there that declared, when He declared that there was earthly / physical citizenship to which some things were to be given, and there was also a spiritually or a heavenly citizenship that things are to be given. And today as we go through this passage, I hope to point out three main points. The first one is this. There are false ideas of citizenship. There are false ideas today of what it means to be a citizen of earth, a citizen of heaven. There are false ideas in the day that this was written. That's why it was there. There are sins, number two, that are common to these false ideas of citizenship. So if you have this false concept of being citizen and what it means to be citizens of here and of heaven, there's common sins that we're going to see in the scripture today that come along with that, or maybe fruit of that false idea. And then lastly, number three, we're going to see Jesus tell us the truth. That's what He does. Right? Amen? So let's read Matthew chapter 22. Verses 15 through 22. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We should have it up on the screen as well. It says this. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which He could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with Him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest You are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, He said. Why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed Him the Roman coin, He asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it?
Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them and they went away.
That's what I love about the Word of God. If we just stick to the truth of the Word of God, guess what? Our enemies flee. They can't stand against it. That's not in the notes. But we had to hear that this morning. If we just stick to the truth of God's Word, no matter whether we like it or whether we don't, those who are trying to set traps for us, those who are plotting against us, those who are plotting against the Word of God or maybe God's will that's done here on earth as it is in His kingdom, if we stick to it, they'll be amazed and they'll leave us alone or they'll join in with us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just love You this morning. And God, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You how it stands forever. It applies just as much today as it did when Matthew recorded this. When it was translated years later. When this Bible right here that I'm holding was probably printed in China. Every word is spoken by You and was written in there. And we read it, Your Spirit goes to work. If we will allow You, Lord. So that's my prayer today. Father, we've got baptisms coming up next Sunday. And I know, we talked about it last week, that You want heaven filled up. And there's plenty of room there for everybody. And Your heart is that we would all accept Your grace and Your mercy. And so God, even though we're talking about paying taxes today, Father, we know it's Your Word and that Your Spirit ultimately wants to call us to be a part of Your kingdom, to accept Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness, and to give our life to You. And so God, I pray ultimately that's what happens today, that many would come to know You as their Savior and grow in their relationship with You. Father, we love You and we praise You, and it's only because of Jesus that we can come boldly before the throne. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So before we go back to these eight verses, don't close your Bible, because we're going to stay in here for the remainder of the message. Let me remind us this morning that we need to hear the truth about citizenship. Maybe we could say just as much as those people then, or maybe we could say especially today, that we still see a problem, that there is still a problem with our idea of citizenship. The same idea, the same problem that Christ was addressing in this scripture. And the problem is our first point of the day. So number one is this: false ideas, or a false idea of citizenship. So that's what we're going to see in this scripture. Look back with me at verse 15 and 16, Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to read back through it again as we break it down. It says, then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which He could be arrested. That's really what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to keep going on to 16 and we'll read it again in a few minutes. Then He sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with Him. Teacher, they said, we know how honest You are, how You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now, there's two, in this one little piece of scripture, I believe there are two false ideas of citizenship that we see with the Pharisees, number one, and number two, with the Herodians. All right. So number one is this: the false idea is that religion is supreme over everything. Now, somebody's saying, wait a minute, are you telling me that you're saying religion's not supreme? Well, I'm not talking about our faith. I'm not talking about God being supreme. I'm talking about religion. Right? Traditions and things within the church and the Old Testament things that we sometimes we think we are still stuck with. You see, the Pharisees believed that the only obedience that was to give Him was to God and His law. So if you were a believer, if you were a follower of God, and you didn't have to submit to any other authority, they believed that they could hold over the law of God and the laws of the church and the Old Testament laws and all those things that we read about in the Old Testament, that they wanted to lord that over the people so they could be in charge. And they didn't want a king telling them what they could and couldn't do. They were against paying taxes, especially to a king that wasn't from their region that they lived in, or especially a king that they didn't like. They didn't want to pay taxes to him. They didn't feel like they had to. They thought that religion somehow exempt them from having to answer to anybody else on earth. But that's not what Jesus teaches, and that's not what the disciples taught. It's not what the Bible tells us. If you read all the letters that Paul wrote, that's not what he tells us. Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 says this: live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone,
love the brotherhood, fear God. But he also goes on to say, honor the emperor. Some of them say serve or maybe respect or honor the king. So we have to remember that if we have this idea that because we're a believer, we don't have to answer to anybody else here on earth, it's a false idea of our citizenship here on earth. The second false idea of citizenship that I think we see in these two verses, or these couple verses, is that government is supreme. So on the flip side, there's, okay, well, government can tell us whatever to do, and they're all ruling, they're all knowing. This is seen in the view of the Herodians, okay? Now, we have to picture how strange it is that these two groups of people were meeting up. The Pharisees believed that religion was dominant over government, but the Herodians were a political party of Herod, who believed the government was dominant over religion and over everything. And so you see these two groups, they were bitter enemies. They hated each other. They disagreed on everything and they didn't like each other. Yet we find them today in this passage working together in this strange way. But see, what happened is their hatred for Jesus brought them together to team up against a common enemy. Did you know, church, that I want to remind us today that the same thing still takes place today? Did you know that? If you think about it, even in our own life, if you could have two co-workers at your work that don't like each other, but all of a sudden, you know, you're going for a promotion or something's going on and they don't like you being their boss or whatever, guess who will team up to try to do everything they can do to destroy you or to deface you or to make you look like you don't deserve to be in that position? But see, those who are either in the world, especially with what Christ is talking about in the church and in the government, there are those who are either so religious that they fail to be good citizens here on earth. They fail. They never go out and witness to anybody else because they're higher than that. See, I belong to the church. I'm going to stay here in my comfort zone inside the church. I'm saved. I'm going to stick to all this. I get to ignore all that's going out in the world. That they never go out and they really never serve God in the world because they think religious is supreme. Their religion is supreme. And there are others who are so dependent upon the government. Not going to go down that route. Some of them need to get to work. But some of them are so dependent upon the government or maybe the politics or maybe their views or their politics or maybe their worldly rights. We get so hung up in all of that that we fail to remember that everything of this world, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're an independent, doesn't matter where you stand, whether you live in America, whether you live somewhere else, it's all temporary compared to the kingdom of heaven. It's all temporary. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 7. This is what I was talking about. It goes along with the song talking about flowers fading away if my mouth would work this morning. Isaiah 47 and 8 says this, "The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people." It goes on to say this, "The grass withers and the flowers fade." I love that reminder again. "But the word of our God stands forever." Can I get an amen with that?
Amen.
An extreme on either side of this false idea of our citizenship, whether it be on the religious side or whether it be in the government side, the worldly side, it's a false concept of our citizenship. And that's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. And I believe those two verses show us that plainly. Look back with me at Matthew 22, verses 16 and 17 as we continue. It says this, "Then some of their disciples, along with the supporters of Herod," that's the Herodians, "they sent some of the disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?'" Here's the second point that we see for today that we need to pull out of this that the Lord has laid on my heart. There are sins that are often committed by those who have these false ideas of citizenship. And those sins that I believe we see in this plot of the Pharisees and the Herodians against Christ. I think we see it plainly. Number one is this. The first sin, there's three of them that jumped out at me, is selfish ambition. All right, so it's no longer about the good of everybody else. It's no longer about God. It's no longer about the government. It's no longer about the church. It's about me. It's about what benefits me. Again, here's two groups who hated one another. The Pharisees saw the Herodians. They saw them as heathens who were doomed for hell. They didn't like them.
And the Pharisees and the Herodians saw the Pharisees as people that were just a thorn in their side. They're always going around with their robes on and they're acting like they were exempt from everything. They didn't like each other. So what brought them to work together? It was selfish ambition is what it was. It was them saying, well, I want my position. I don't want anybody interrupting that. I'm the government. I am the emperor. Or I'm the king. I am over top of everybody else. You see, both were intimidated by Christ, and they were fear of losing their position that they had. And the same still happens with this as well today. You remember, they wanted Jesus arrested. Ultimately, they had him killed. If you look through, we're going to get to that eventually in Matthew. But guess what? They had him killed. That was their ultimate goal. They wanted him arrested. They wanted him killed. They wanted him out of the way. And if you think that both government or maybe religion today are exempt from this same sin of selfish ambition, we had better do like this and open our eyes and look around a little bit. Because we see it all over the place. And we're going to start with the government. Well, we ain't going to stay there long because I'm not going to go there. There is selfish ambition that corrupts our government. But let me tell you something, church. There is selfish ambition. We see it all the time. I'm a member of some church leader groups that I follow and stuff like that. And I read articles all the time about pastors who become selfish in their ambitions. And the church gets caught up in corruption. Churches sometimes get caught up in self-ambitions. They say, well, you know what? It's all about me. I don't like the way that we're doing church now. I don't like the way that the preacher dresses. I said that because I'm dressed in my beach outfit today. Going to the beach after church today, so I'm looking forward to that. Or maybe I don't want to do this, or I don't like that, or whatever. We get caught up in this selfish ambition, and it still exists today because a person who lives for the world, what they do is they'll become partners with almost anyone to protect what they think is theirs. And it's called selfish ambition. They'll even partner up with their enemies. We have to be careful about that, church. Number two, the second sin that is common to those who have a false idea of citizenship is this. It's called deception. Now, I remember when I was in the hiring process for the state police, I wasn't nervous. Now, I was nervous because they even went to my high school teachers. All right. And I wasn't the best student. I was a class clown. I played around. Somebody went to high school with me is over there giving a face like, man. And for whatever reason, the grace of God that, you know, my high school teachers didn't tell them what I really did and how I really was. But the most intimidating thing was I had to sit down and take a polygraph examination. And so they asked me all these questions. Had I ever done this kind of drug? Had I ever stolen anything? Have I ever disappointed anybody? It was these awkward questions to sit down with somebody in one of these interrogation rooms with the mirrored glass and everything. And you're hooked up to all this stuff. And I remember they came back to me and they said, everything was good, except you showed deception on this question. And my heart sunk. And I said, oh my goodness, what is it? And I explained it to him. And he said, well, you were just probably thinking about that. Whatever, don't worry about it. And I was like, whew. But see, they thought that I was trying to lie to them. They thought that I was trying to trick them. And so we see that right in here. We see this trickery, this deception in these two verses. Note the flattery that they gave to Jesus. And here they were trying to destroy him, but yet they call him rabbi or teacher. And see, that was a great honor to call somebody rabbi or teacher. They were building him up. They said, you're honest. You're a man of integrity. You teach the way of God truthfully. You're impartial. You don't show favoritism. They were just buttering him up so they could set him up. Now, all the things they said about Christ was 100% accurate, but the problem was they had deception in their hearts. They didn't actually mean what they said. This is the same kind of deception or maybe the flattery that Solomon writes about in Proverbs 29, verse 5. This is the NIV version. It's the one I like. It says, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. Yikes. See, he's talking about being, that doesn't mean you can't tell somebody their hair looks nice. It doesn't mean you can't encourage somebody or give somebody flattery, but you got to be cautious. And the Word of God tells us that we are to test the Spirit, right? And Jesus was testing the Spirit. He knew exactly what their motives were in their flattery. It was called deception. The third sin that we see that is common to those who hold a false idea of their citizenship is that of stubborn unbelief. We see that with the Pharisees, but we also see that with the Herodians. You see, stubborn unbelief, it leads to rejection of the truth. All right, let me explain that a little bit. Stubborn unbelief is me saying, I don't want to accept the fact that that is true, that the Word of God is true. Because if I don't pretend that, if I pretend that maybe this is true, maybe I just in my mind I say, you know what? I don't want to think about death. I don't want to think about what's going to happen to me after death. I don't want to think about heaven. I don't want to think about hell. That just blows my mind. I'd rather just live the way that I'm living, and I would rather just take it as it goes and just pretend it doesn't exist. I have that unique opportunity where I've never been able to pretend that death doesn't exist. In my job, I see people, and I've seen people's lives cut short from them just like that. As a pastor, I get to see the good times of newborn babies, but I also see a lot of death. You know, I've done more funerals as a pastor, probably triple, than I have weddings or anything else. Death is real. And sometimes when we reject the truth, what happens in the rejection, we reject the truth of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we say, you know what, I know that I've heard the pastor talk about that. I've seen the scripture on the bumper stickers, and I've heard sermons about it and everything else, but I'm gonna reject the truth. What we're doing is we're leading ourselves to self-condemnation, because that's what happens. See, the rejection of truth leads to self-condemnation. The question was very simple that they asked Jesus. They said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now see, the Jewish religionists would say this. They would say no. But see, the Herodians, they would say, yes, you need to pay our king. You need to pay the taxes. This is where they were sure that they were going to trap Christ. There was no right answer that he could give. If he said no, the taxes should not be paid to Caesar, then authorities would have had him arrested. But if he said yes, the tax should be paid to Caesar, then all the people that were following him would think that somehow he was denying the sovereignty of God. Well, he's saying that we should be paying, or maybe paying tribute to somebody else that's not God. And the people who were following him have given up everything and seen him do miracles and were healed by him. They would either maybe rise up against him, or maybe they would even abandon him and they would lose their faith. You see, both the Pharisees and the Herodians, they were closed-minded and they were stubborn in their unbelief. Now, last week we read John chapter 3, verse 18, and I'm going to revisit it today, but we're going to back up a little bit. Everybody has heard of John 3:16. It's a very common verse, but I want to read it for you this morning. I want us to listen. This is not from the King James. So it doesn't say some of the same words, but I love how it's just so simple. Listen what it says. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against though anyone who believes in him. But this is what we need to listen. We read it last week, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. People say all the time, they say, well, if God's all, when they want to come and they want to attack the gospel, they want to attack the word of God, or they want to say that, well, there's no way that God can be who he is and there could be a hell and all these things. How would God send somebody to hell? But the sad fact of this is people choose hell. They choose hell instead of the free gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the being forgiven by him and accepting him and giving our heart to him and living a life following after Jesus. We choose the world. We choose the evilness in this world. We choose the flesh over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, when we have our false concepts of our citizenship, we can fall into these same exact sins. Whether it's self-ambition, whether it's deception, or maybe it's just pride and their stubborn unbelief. We got to go back to this passage that we're preaching through today, even though we're talking about paying taxes. And we're reminded of what Jesus does and how he answers this question. And I believe this leads us right in to the last point for today, and that's this, the truth. The truth about being a citizen is this. Look at verse 18 and 22 again with me. But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said, why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said,
Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them, and they went away. What we see here and what we just read can be summed up in one word, and that's truth. We just read truth, church. Can I get an amen there? Can you agree with me? Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is truth. He speaks truth. Jesus tells us here that we have two citizenships. Very clearly, he tells us, obviously, each one of us are citizens of this world while we are alive. If you are here today, you are a citizen of this world. Therefore, we must follow the laws of the land, and we must pay what is owed to those who are in authority over top of us. I hate paying taxes. I've told you all that before. It drives me nuts. Now, I don't mind paying some of my taxes, but the one that really drives me nuts is my property tax. Can I get an amen on that? Daggone it. I got to pay tax to own a car and park it in my driveway. I mean, come on. And the better that I do in life and the nicer my car is, the more I got to pay. That just don't make no sense. But anyways, that has nothing to do with the sermon. But I'm just being real with you this morning. Now think about it. It was the same now as it was. It's the same now as it was back then. Nobody wanted to pay their taxes. We've talked about it before. But listen to me, church. As a believer, a Christ follower is also a citizen. We are a citizen of this world, but we are called and we are to be a part of a citizen of heaven in the spiritual world. And we're called to have that dual citizenship. Therefore, we owe God what also belongs to God. So we owe our taxes. That's fine. We can pay our taxes. But we have that right. And we have that responsibility to owe God what belongs to God. I want to point out three quick things about this passage before we close up today. And this is this. Number one is this. Christ saw through the motives that these people had. He saw through the motives of these men. He is the Son of God, and he knew their hearts, and he saw their evil motives. He knew their selfish ambition. He knew the deception. When they were laying that trap for him, he was already saying, what are you trying to do? You know what I mean? What are you, really? Is that the best you got? Hey, he already knew the answer before they even spit it out. And he saw their evil motives. He saw their unbelief. Look at verse 18. It says, he knew their evil motives. Then he calls them out when he says this. He says, you hypocrites. Now, what's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody who's pretending to be something that they're not. That's an easy definition. An actor. They're acting like they're somebody that they're not. He said, why are you trying to trap me? See, Jesus knew that they were evil, and he knew that they were pretending to be something that they were not. So we need to remember that. The second thing that I want to point out before we close is this. In this passage of Scripture, in this couple of verses that we just read, Jesus reveals an important truth for especially all believers. He gave us the truth that we have an obligation to the government under which we live. Now, that's sometimes we don't like to hear that. Christians are citizens of heaven, yes, but we are also citizens of this earth. And whatever nation we're a part of, we're citizens of that country. And if you think about it, we use the benefits of that citizenship, right? And all the money that the taxes go to. This morning, if you drove here in a car, you drove on the roads that the taxes paid for, right? We take advantage of all that. We use, if you're here in Fork Union or maybe at the lake, and I think that's the only place here, and maybe up at Zion's Crossroads, we have public water and sewage. We have laws that protect us and protect our family and our property. Protect their rights. We have law enforcement to help enforce the law. We have the court system. We have the military to protect the country in which we live and our security and our freedoms. We have the fire and rescue community respond. All we got to do is pick up the phone and dial 911 and they'll come and they'll help us. And it goes on and on and on. Therefore, even though our eternal citizenship is in heaven, it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to pay our fair share here on earth. We're supposed to be good and faithful servants here on earth as well. Titus chapter 3, verse 11 says this. I'm sorry, verse 1 says this. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. We got to be reminded sometimes. It goes on to say this. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Saints, we have to remember this. We have a dual citizenship. We have a dual citizenship. I'm going to ask the choir if they'll come back up as we give them. I'm going to give you this final thing that I want to note before we close. But if the choir will come on back up, they're going to prepare to lead us in the closing song for our time of invitation. The final thing that we need to note before we close is this.
There is something that belongs to God. There is something that we have that belongs to God, and this is a heavenly citizenship. Christ was just as brilliant, and I know it's distracted with everybody moving around, but I want us to listen because this is really where God has stirred in my heart today. He was just as brilliant in dealing with the Herodians as he had been with dealing with the Pharisees. This isn't the first time the Pharisees had come to attack him. They were after him all the time. Oh, you know, one of your disciples picked a grain a week because they were hungry on the Sabbath. You shouldn't have worked on the Sabbath, and you healed on the Sabbath. They were always following around trying to stir up something. But when he was dealing with the Herodians, he was just as brilliant in his dealing. You see, the Herodians were very worldly minded. They were known for denying anything spiritual, anything supernatural at all. It was all about there, what they could achieve, what they could obtain about this world or from this world. And Christ, what he did is he revealed a very important truth to these guys. A very important truth to them, and it was this. He revealed the truth that there is a God who we all are responsible to. So there's going to be a day where we all are going to have to answer to God, whether we like it or not. And even though we may be citizens here on earth, we are responsible to live also as citizens of heaven. Because just like the benefits that we receive from the government, if you think about it, our roads, our laws, all the things that we have, it's the same with the kingdom of God. It's the same that the benefits that God gives us. He gives us life, right? And we didn't create ourselves. I don't make my heart beat. I don't make the trees produce more oxygen for me. He gives us life. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us a mind and a body that we can enjoy this life and enjoy the things of this earth. He sends rain and the sunlight for everybody. The Bible tells us what? God sends the rain and the sun, what? For the just and the unjust, just alike. And most importantly, he's given us the Son. The Son, his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And for those of us who give our life to Christ and to follow him, he gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal life, and he gives us the very breath of heaven. There's a worship song out right now by Phil Wickham, and I love it. And one of these days, we're probably going to sing it. But he says, I long to breathe the air of heaven. Can you imagine? There's no allergies. There's no flu or COVID. There's no bad smells. You're just breathing in the perfect air of heaven that God supplies. He promises us a heavenly body to enjoy for all eternity. And he promises us there is no longer a need for the sun, even no need for light, because the glory of God is so bright. If you don't believe me, go Google that. Look it up in Revelation. It says the glory of God is so bright, there's no need for a sun. So as we close, I want to say this. I know there's somebody here today that's offended at what I've said today. And I tell you that because I'm offended by what I said today. I don't like the fact that I'm supposed to submit to the government. I don't like the fact that I'm supposed to submit to somebody who's supposed to have authority over me when I live in a free country. And you know why? It's because I know how corrupt and evil a lot of the leaders in this country, especially all over the world, but especially, we just take it right here in this country, I know how much corruption there is in the government. I'm not submitting to them. But we have to go back to what Jesus said. We're supposed to be good citizens. We've got to find that happy balance. I remember we preached about it when we were talking about the coin in the fish's mouth. And we talked about you got to find that balance of, because Jesus said we don't want to offend them. So go pay the taxes that are due. And so you got to find that fine line of being a believer, but also being a citizen here and where God has placed us in the time in which we live. We know that many leaders, even in this country, seem to abuse their positions. We see the same sins we talked about, selfish ambition. They deceive us. Oh man, when they were running for office, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to solve all your problems. And how many of them ever come to pass? And they're stubborn in their unbelief. It seems like so often that they're against the Word of God, doesn't it? Especially in the day that we're living today. But church, this is what I want us to remember. We have to remember this. Jesus was talking about paying taxes. He answered a specific question about paying taxes and being that part of your citizenship. Don't read into it. Don't cut off the Spirit today. Listen, he didn't say anything about joining in or condoning with evil behavior. He didn't say that we have to do that. Do you remember the three guys that with the funny names in Daniel chapter 3? Does anybody remember those? There you go. Somebody probably said it wrong. I used to always say like, I was like, you know, Meadrach, Shadrach. You always get them all mixed up. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now listen about it. These guys were faithful servants of God. And they, and for the Bible says nothing about them being rebels. They were submissive to the king. Right up until the point where the king asked them to worship and to go against God's law. Church, the point is this that I believe we need to understand. I encourage you to go read that in Daniel chapter 3. We are to be good citizens on earth. That's what the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. We got it up on the screen there. I'm going to read it from the screen because I don't have it in my notes. This was a last minute addition. It says this. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now you say, oh man, some of the presidents we've had, some of the people that have been in leadership, how in the world would God place them? Listen to me. I'm not God. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? But don't you think, don't you doubt for a minute maybe, that he didn't know who was going to be the president today as we stand here today when he created the earth. And God, my Bible tells me, I don't know about you, that he works everything for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. We are called to be good citizens here on earth, whether you like it or not. And we are called to be good citizens of heaven. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and I'm going to read it off the board. It says this. Before we get into it, I want to tell you this. I want to give you a little backstory on this so you understand. When you give your life to Christ, God promises us, Jesus promised that he would send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. When he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, the disciples were saying, what are you going to do? We followed you and now you're leaving us. And he says, yeah, but I'm going to send you a helper. So when we give our life to Christ, Jesus promises and God gives us his Holy Spirit to live in us. And listen to what it says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen to what it says. There is no law against these things. There is no law against these things. When I look across this room today, I promise we're closing. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I can look at everybody in the choir, I can look at a mirror, look at myself, I can look at all of y'all and say without a shadow of a doubt that all of you are citizens of earth. You're here, you're alive, you're a citizen here on earth. But what I can't say without a shadow of a doubt that every one of you are citizens of heaven. Because you know what? That's not my place to know. That's between you and your Creator. That's between you and your Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would ask you this morning, are you a citizen of heaven? And are you a good citizen of earth? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, I hope this made some kind of sense and that your Spirit will do exactly what you tell and would intercede and that you would speak to our hearts today. God, if there's somebody here today that's not sure whether they're a citizen of your kingdom, they've never called upon Jesus for their forgiveness of their sins and put their faith and their hope and their trust in him. Lord, I just pray that they would pray a simple prayer that maybe would go something like this. Father, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I can't fix myself. Therefore, I call on Jesus Christ. And I believe that when he died on the cross, he did it for me. And I call on him and him alone and the sacrifice that he made for me and the blood that he shed for me to cover my sins. Father, I want to come into your kingdom today. Lord, I believe, even though I don't understand it fully, that you rose Jesus from the grave and that he has all authority right now today. He's just sitting at your right hand. And Father, I believe, I choose to believe. I leave behind my stubborn unbelief. And I choose to believe with all my heart that you love me, that you forgive me, and that Jesus paid the penalty that I deserve for my sin. And because of what he did, I can now be a child of God. And I can be a citizen of heaven. Lord, I just pray that you would just break down that spirit of pride this morning. If there's somebody here today that made that decision, that they would come and they would make it public. And they would proudly proclaim that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God laid this on my heart last night. And I don't know who it's for. Maybe it was just for me. And I debated on whether I was going to share, but before the choir sings, I want to share it with you this morning. It says, Christian, now this is something that just came to me, and I really believe the Lord laid it on my heart. Christian, don't you ever complain about paying your taxes if you haven't given God what's due to Him. Because God wants everything you are and everything you have, and it all has to start with you giving Him your heart. When you get that in perspective, paying some measly taxes to corrupt government in the grand scheme of all eternity, hey, go ahead, Caesar. Take a quarter of my paycheck. I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.